We are back. We are talking about some wonderful things here, of course, that we always do on Coast to Coast AM. I'm Connie Willis. Tune me in on my show, BlueRockTalk.tv. Get 50% off right now. Sign up and be a part of my membership. Become a Blue Rocker and enjoy going to creepy hotspots with me, live investigating with me, and being a part of a great community. Half off because you're a Coast to Coast fan. And you just go to my site and look up top. You'll see the coupon. BlueRockTalk.tv. Blue Rock, that's the earth. BlueRockTalk.tv. Looking forward to seeing you. So hope you'll sign up and get half off for an entire year. So here at Coast to Coast AM, we get to talk to some of the neatest people. And this is one of the people that I'm sure you've seen some of his documentaries, because it is the ones that have just a ton of evidence. Now, one of my other favorite documentarians, Darcy, I'm in love with a lot of them. So Tom Jennings, we had him here not too long ago. Tim Coleman, I haven't even talked to Foxworthy in a while on Foxworthy. Jeff, oh my gosh, help me. Now I'm going to screw up everybody's name.
Jeremy Corbell, maybe?
No, but that's another one as well. Go ahead. You can shoot out more there, because when they get it and they get it right and they do it in a way where it's like, here it is. Now, what do you think? And when they allow you to know, make up your own mind. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. James Fox. I was calling Jeff Foxworthy.
You know, I watched his films and got into all this stuff too. Yeah. As a younger man. So for sure.
Yeah.
He's a good man.
He is, and he enjoys it too. He's got the passion for it as well, and it's always just a joy to watch, and just newer stuff coming out constantly all the time, especially with the formats out there to where you can, you know, put your documentary, you know, in all sorts of platforms. You don't have to just, you know, barely like, you know, survive with doing this. It's a whole lot cheaper now too. So it's a really good time to shoot things. You go out there and you can get it in the video style without having to shoot film and edit and this and that. And it's just so much nicer and easier and so free, so much more freeing for somebody that's doing this. Wouldn't you agree, since you do this?
I'd say so. Yeah, I totally agree. I think what I like about being a filmmaker and a documentarian and the subject matter that I focus on is that I'm passionate about the subject and I'm passionate about disclosure. You know, I find I've been speaking on a lot of engagements recently with Stephen Bassett. I've done over probably 25 in the past 2 months.
Oh, Steve must be just going crazy right now.
He loves it. But, you know, the biggest thing that he kind of educated me on, and I didn't even realize it till I was doing all these speaking engagements, is that, you know, in a way, as a documentarian, if you're pushing for disclosure, you are a citizen activist.
You know, for years. That's right.
It's true.
It's true.
And I feel it. You know, I put that into my work. I want disclosure to happen in a big way from the American government, hopefully this year. And there seems to be a lot of evidence that it's going that way, that there's going to be some congressional hearings, and you're going to hear from a lot of the guys that were on, you know, the pilots and a lot of high-ranking military officials and stuff that were featured with the To the Stars Academy productions recently. But a lot of people they also spoke to that never actually were featured in their show are apparently going to be part of some congressional hearings that are being lined up. And it's really exciting, because if these actually happen, you know, in the past, Jeremy Corbell and Stephen Bassett, they put together citizen activist hearings. They put together mock congressional hearings that were just the press and citizens. And those were a huge step in the right direction. They were the practice run. But if we actually have Capitol Hill congressional hearings and we have this happening on C-SPAN live for millions of Americans to see, this is going to blow this up. You know, it's not just going to be people like you and I that get some strange looks from the normal, in quote, folks, you know, that that hear us talk about extraterrestrials or Bigfoot or whatever, and they think we're strange, but this would go mainstream if those congressional hearings happen, and it's really important that they do. So,
and why do you think that, you know, and let me back that up a little bit. And the reason I'm asking you that is because you had said it's important for the United States to do that. Where do you feel other countries are open with it already? And why do you feel the United States is so important in it? And why do you feel like it's just important in general? Because you already know, right? So why is it important for the world to know? What do you think will happen as well?
Because, you know, here's like, you know, the exact definition of conspiracy, right? Is a secret plan by a group to do something unlawful or harmful. And the problem that with the ET subject, that's been constantly labeled as a conspiracy. And what the real truth is that the American government hasn't been doing something unlawful. What they've been doing is they had set since the late 1940s, since Roswell, for the past 70 years, they have had a truth embargo, meaning they have a law protecting the public from being exposed to this truth. And it is above all that they cannot let this get out to the public in a serious way. But we're at the end of that now. And it's not a conspiracy. It's just a truth embargo. It's something that they have working in the background through their many different intelligence agencies, you know, the CIA, the FBI, the military-industrial complex. They all collude and make sure that this does not get out. But we're starting to see the cracks. We're starting to see it get out since 2017 with the UFO videos that were released through To the Stars Academy, To the Stars Arts and Science, right? And if we look at that and then 2020, April, the Pentagon furthermore says, yes, these are not our craft. They're not from our military arsenal. This is the very first time we've seen this from the military acknowledged.
They've admitted to it, yeah.
Yeah, Project Blue Book happened in the 1970s, and they said, oh, it's mostly just you know, phenomenon that can be explained away as natural, right? And Stan Friedman was so vocal about the percentages was actually 20% were from credible witnesses that could not be accounted for some natural phenomenon. And that was written in Project Blue Book. You know, this is from pilots and all kinds of credible observers. So we've had this, and it's been constantly thrown under the rug and said, no, there's nothing here. But we're at the end of the line now. We're at this point where this is actually going to come out. And it's exciting. We've had a horrible year with the pandemic. We've had, you know, everything sort of taken from us. Certain people out there, God bless you. I know that you've been through a lot, but this is actually a hopeful thing. If the government does this, they'll buy back just a little bit of trust, you know, from the public. Trust is at an all-time low. And if they start to let this truth out, it's going to be big. It's going to vindicate a lot of people, which is good, that have been studying this, you know. I feel bad for Stan Friedman. He would have loved to have been alive when this happened, right? There's so many other researchers like him that have passed and have been doing this their whole lives. And I guess I have become one of those type of people that feels like an activist with my films. I feel like I'm trying to bring these stories to the public. And you'll notice that a lot of the time I kind of give a crash course on UFO-related stuff at the starting of my documentaries, because I want my documentaries to be accessible to everybody. I don't want them to be like, okay, you have to believe already, so here's this story. Some documentaries out there are like that. I try to have a little bit of a story leading up into the niche news story that I've created, or niche. And, you know, you mentioned before the break, we were talking about volcanoes next. I might as well go into that.
Oh my gosh, it's crazy. And before you do, that's what I enjoy about the films are, you know, it stays to where, hey, you figured this out. What do you think? But take a look at this. Instead of a documentary that people are just talking head, you are showing the evidence. You're showing the evidence that people have captured. You go to those people and say, hey, let's see what you've got, whether it's audio, whether it's video. It's not just even just encounters, or it's not just someone telling about somebody else's encounter. You are talking to the people, and you're going to the place. And that's important to me, you know, because I think people need to see that. You know, they can't make a decision just reading somebody's book that wrote about somebody else's experience. You know, I love going out there and boots on the ground, feeling it, seeing it, and hearing it myself. And all that stuff still happens now. It still happens today, every day. Every day people are seeing things, they're, you know, in the sky, as well as, you know, creatures, entities, everywhere. And don't just think the UFOs are once in a while, you guys. They're all the time. And the beams of light, all the time. There's stories all the time. And so you're going out, and the things that they've caught, I mean, holy cow, some of these things that have been caught that, that people don't even see anymore. You know, you have brought back a lot of those that haven't been seen at all. And so thank you for that. So yes. And before you get into the volcano thing, cause that's awesome. What do you think is going to change? What difference do you think is going to matter? I mean, I'm going to love seeing Steve Bassett with a smile on his face. Finally, I want to see Steve smiling. He's worked really hard, and he deserves it. So, but what do you think is going to happen to the world? Is it going to freak out? Is it going to change? Or is it just going to go, okay, yeah, we all believe. All right. And that's all we know.
Mm-hmm.
No, well, you think that's all? Or is it going to stop?
No, I think this is the beginning of a total change to mankind. You know, I think that we're at the precipice of a new era, a new age in our development. We're right at the edge of going into space and colonizing possibly Mars, and really having more activity in space in a public way. You know, we know a lot of people may be listening to this show and be like, well, wait, we've already been in space, but it's mostly the military and secret NASA missions. Yes, I believe that. But I think when this truth comes out, we're going to understand, okay, what the Space Force is really about, what we're really going to be doing, who's really out there in space already that we're going to be encountering if Elon Musk starts sending his SpaceX crafts to land on Mars and start colonies. You know, there's going to be a lot more information, because we're at this point where our technology, AI is catching up. We're right at this precipice where we're going to be switching over into this new era where information is going to be so empowering, and it's going to help us move forward as a civilization. And possibly new energies are going to be released. One of the things, if there is this release of information and we say officially we're not alone, this is hopeful, because it's kind of a dark, sad reality if you say we're the only things in the universe, you know, that are smart, intelligent, that are using technology and traveling, trying to go into space. I think that after we have the hearings, the initial hearings, there's going to be more hearings and more hearings. You know, Stephen Bassett believes that eventually, once the whole world is caught up to this idea and it is mainstream that we're not alone, there will be a contact event. There will be open contact. And that probably would be a government sort of contact-led event, you know, where it's televised and that type of thing. And that's hopeful. That's exciting, you know. Just talking about it, people think, wow, wouldn't that be incredible to see an open contact event en masse for the whole world to embrace? But right now we're still stuck in pandemic mode, and there's a lot of hopelessness there. And I think this government can empower people again and give us back a little bit of dignity if they release some more truth that they've been keeping from the public. And the real thing that could happen, you know, by the end of the year is that we start to understand, you know, what our role is in the embargo. Like, do we as citizens start to report UFO sightings to different agencies so that it's more trackable, that the data is more public, and people are starting to understand the difference between UFO sightings? You know, some may be good, some may be bad. And I think if we are going to be going into space and starting to use artificial intelligence and all that, we're going to start to, like, really come up to speed with the truth, and the universe will be a really hopeful place to explore. Just like the oceans, you know. The oceans were a huge mystery to us before, and as we went down throughout the generations, throughout history, we found more and more creatures, we found more and more information that's helped our science and understand our planet. We need to now do that in space, and we need to understand what's out there.
And that's Darcy Weir talking, our documentarian filmmaker. We're going to talk more about some of his films. You now heard how he feels about the future and what's going to happen in the UFO world as him being an activist on this. And we'll see what happens. You know, we've heard these things before. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. And it doesn't mean that a lot will happen, or maybe everything will. So we will see how it all unfolds. And of course, you'll know firsthand here from Coast to Coast AM, the most listened to overnight radio program in North America. It is Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here, and we are talking with filmmaker and documentarian Darcy Weir. He has some incredible videos out there for you guys to check out, and I think you are going to like them. I got to watch every one of them, and I couldn't stop and reflected on a lot of them, I've never seen as much of the evidence as I've seen on that, and then the stories behind it. And one of the ones that I think a lot of people sometimes forget, I don't know, maybe they just didn't see enough information on it, but that's the volcanoes. You know, he's got it on UFOs, and you'll know most of the people. Then you're going to meet some new people. Then you're going to hear about the underground with the Phil Snyder, as well as the Wild Man, and, you know, really into depth about the things that are showing the proof and the evidence. And definitely, you know, taking you right there for sure. Darcy, you're definitely taking everybody right there. And the volcanoes, I'm going to let you say his name because I don't want to mess it up. And I just love his work since he was young. I mean, he's always been right there with the UFO information, and he's in an incredible part of the world as well, that he not only gets a lot of information and evidence and people go to him because they trust him, but he's in an area of the world that happens a lot, and their government is totally open to it. Everybody discusses it.
Yeah. So Jaime Maussan.
Yeah. I love him.
News journalist that's been in the game for over 40 years, and he's been covering UFO events and the study of UFOs across Latin America and internationally for probably just as long. The incredible thing about Jaime Maussan is that he really has such a database of UFO events that are from the deep history of sightings across Latin America. And this latest documentary I just released with Kim and Stephen Bassett covers volcano, like really active volcano sites in Latin America that have heralded incredible UFO events. And so, what UFO events, you might ask? Okay, well, we do a chronology, we do a history lesson, and show you, we walk through history, modern history, and show all the very credible UFO events that have happened. So let me take you back to 1988, the fiery Colima volcano of Mexico. It's to the west, you know, quite far from Mexico City. This Colima eruption was happening, and thousands of people were seeing it. It was during daytime, and a news crew was sent out to record this, get it all on act, you know, all the action on tape. And while they're recording, Mr. Guzman, who's a news reporter, a cameraman for the news, he's capturing a UFO that looks very similar to what we would have seen on the Tic Tac UFO video or the Gimbal UFO videos, you know, released by the Pentagon. We're looking at a aura-type UFO craft that is slowly hovering and going through this massive ash cloud that's being created by this volcano while it's spewing pyroclastic lava and rocks. And these guys are like, what, que cosa, what's that, you know, what the hell is this? And so that tape got shared to Jaime Maussan, and that's now part of the record. And this can't be a civilian aircraft. This can't be a military aircraft to our knowledge, because nothing can move through an ash cloud like that with all these volcanic rocks and magma and all that stuff erupting at the same time and survive, you know?
It kind of takes you back to like Star Wars when they're going through the asteroids and the, you know, the different rocks coming their way, and they're going left, right, left, right, left, right. That's what these ships would have been doing, going straight down with the lava and the rocks spewing like that, wouldn't it? They would be seeing kind of that same thing.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, in 2010, for example, there was a eruption. I'm not even going to try to pronounce this Icelandic volcano, but just the ash cloud created by this volcano, it drifted all across Europe, and civilian aircrafts were grounded. Like, no one could fly at that time because ash from volcanoes can get into the turbines of these engines and just shut down, and, you know, there you go, your plane is crashing. So we look at this UFO event, and this thing is just slowly coasting through this ash cloud. Not possible by our conventional technology. So that was one event, and in this documentary, we cover multiple events throughout history where news agencies, cameramen are setting up, and they see these volcanoes erupting in Mexico, erupting in Costa Rica, you know, and UFOs are just buzzing around them, going into the crater, leaving the crater, hovering above them, and just chilling. You know, it's super strange. These are not airplanes because first of all, let's look at Popocatépetl, which is one of the largest volcanoes in Mexico. It is very close to Mexico City, which Mexico City has 30 million people. And the magma chamber, it actually goes quite close up underneath the city of Mexico. And it also has many neighboring cities like Puebla that have millions of people too. If this volcano, Popocatépetl, goes catastrophic and it really erupts and blows up, it could kill millions of people. And the energy from the seismic activity could also destroy parts of Mexico City, catastrophic loss of life. And Jaime Maussan covers in our documentary that Bergen University came out from Norway and investigated the Popocatépetl volcano. And when they saw a UFO come down to the volcano while it was erupting, they noticed that the electromagnetic frequency of this volcano completely dropped. The energy just flatlined and the UFO left. And it seemed to Jaime and to these researchers that possibly this UFO had sipped some of the energy that was about to be released and protected the inhabitants that are around Popocatépetl. But it's more than that. You know, it's the fact that there's so many UFO sightings that have gone throughout history at this very same volcano through the 90s, the 80s, right up till 2020. And we show those UFO sightings in
the
documentary. Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing. You see them going straight into the volcano. You also see them going on sides of the mountain. You see them going up, going down, going toward it, and they'll stop. And they're like zooming too. They're on one side of the volcano on another side, and they'll come in, they'll circle around, and they kind of look, they actually tilt down and kind of look inside and then move around a little bit more. It's almost like they're either looking at something, and maybe it's to look and go around this way and look, and whatever's happening, they're observing it. And I think they're kind of telling somebody else, well, this is how it looks over here. This is what's going on up here. I don't know if they're trying to control it, trying to create it. Something went wrong and they're trying to fix it. Cause to me, it just leads more into that we are surface people and they are underground, and you know, they're zooming right down. Are they getting the energy from it? I don't think so. I don't think they're taking energy. And I want to know what you think, Darcy, as I know that you're covering it and pulling it up. And this is just me with a working theory. That's all. I would change it tomorrow, and I'm not saying this is it. This is it. But it just does kind of lead to, yeah, they're underground. Maybe this is the heat system where everything, you know, blows out and spews. And well, so, you know, you people, your surface people, you all built around here just because it's a beautiful scenery. But really, this is this hole that we made, and then we put a mountain around it. So, you know, maybe it looks beautiful, or maybe they didn't care about that. Maybe time did that. But
yeah,
this is just our underground heat exhaustion, and we're up here. You know, maybe those are the maintenance guys, and they're trying to fix what broke, you know, in this volcano, maybe, or just trying to keep it to where it doesn't go crazy. You know, because there's so much crazy activity around this volcano.
A dormant volcano, a mountain, in other words, we know is a great place to build a base, you know, out of sight,
yes,
out of sound. Yeah. If you look at the documentary, The Underground, that I did, we talk about that, and we look at, let's say, Cheyenne Mountain that housed NORAD, you know, the base for NORAD, and you look at FEMA and Mount Weather and all these different bases that have been, you know, just bored out into mountains. Well, if you're an extraterrestrial race and you wanted to have a piece of property on our planet where we do not disturb you, you know, even Stephen Bassett recently said in another radio interview we did, people allege that there might be a base at the bottom of the oceans, somewhere in the middle of the Atlantic or maybe the Pacific. No one's going to bother you there, right? And if you put a base at the bottom of a active volcano or underneath somewhere, hey, that's a great security system. No human, you know, task force is going to try and hunt you down there. that's
oh, absolutely.
off limits,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So
Yep.
there are people that hypothesize that there could be bases in these areas. I don't know. I don't see how, you know, there's any way that you would have the technology to withstand the forces of a volcano by our scientific means, but who knows? I mean, fact is sometimes stranger than fiction. So
are you talking with the alien bases?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Anything, when we're talking super high level technology here, that it almost seems like magic to us because we're so far behind in terms of their technology, then anything's possible, right?
I am so, you know, just more and more, and especially watching your stuff again and, you know, talking about it like this right now. It just, to me, that's just one of their outlets of letting it all out. There's got to be cities. There's got to be cities down there. There's got to be just other worlds, you know, that,
The hollow earth theory, you know, which has been around for a long time.
Yeah.
People believe that there may be a civilization that has been terrestrial, but not earthlings. They're just a crypto-terrestrial. They're another terrestrial that lives in a different plane, which would be underground, you know, in a different environment that we can't withstand.
And I don't know if it's totally hollow. I don't know if it's totally hollow. I just don't know that I think there's a lot down there. I hate to cut you off, but
no problem.
We got to go. It's time to go.
All right. Well, if people like what they hear tonight and they want to see some of my films, check out www.occultjourneys.com. My film trailers are there. You know, you can click through, check out my stuff on Amazon Prime, and love to get your feedback. Follow me on Facebook, same name, Darcy Weir, and Instagram, all that jazz. Loved chatting with you tonight, Connie. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to learning more about you, meeting you in person, doing some things together. I'm going to take you to a creepy hotspot and you're going to see these things for yourself, because you haven't seen anything yet, have you?
You know, I've had two UFO experiences in my life. One time I was on a commercial flight just flying across the United States.
Uh-huh.
And I looked up and saw something like a cube-like craft. It was really strange, and reached to get my camera, and as soon as I reached to get my camera, it basically just drifted right above the fuselage of the plane, and I was like, am I losing my mind right now? I was panicking. And I saw something when I was living in Australia too that zoomed across the sky. I'm pretty sure that was not a jet or anything like that, but yeah, I have not seen a Bigfoot. I would love to get out into the wild with you, and I'd love to see what you know and have the experiences that you've had.
Well, it's not just Bigfoot. It could be a dogman. It could be a portal-looking thing, and it can also be beams of light right on you. So, Darcy, thanks so much. I'll be talking to you soon. Thanks for being on.
Sounds great, Connie. Thank you.
You're welcome. Morgan Daimler and also Darcy Weir, thank both of them for being here tonight, as well as you guys. Thanks for enjoying the show. If you liked it, let us know. Tell us, hey, that was awesome. We like to hear that kind of thing. And I hope that you guys have a good Groundhog's Day, and also Valentine's Day coming up. I'll be talking to you at the very end of February. That's why I was asking if it was leap year, which I'm told that was last year. So we got a little bit more time to wait for that. So great show, a lot of fun, interesting conversation. And again, I hope that you guys enjoyed it. So until we meet again, let's say hello and thanks to a lot of people as the night ends here. Dan Galani that help out here at Coast to Coast, Tim Banal, Greg Bishop, Tom Danheiser, Donna Walker, Gina Salvati, Shannon Scott, Michael Cosio, Stephanie Smith-Steven. Now I got Stephen Bassett on. And Stephen, thank you so much. I got him on the mind. Stephanie Smith, Bill May, John C. Bond, Lex Lonehood, Chris Burrows, Lisa Lyon, Julie Talbot, Sean LaDesour, Melissa Rodriguez, who is learning about 80s music, and also Greg Foster, and of course, George Norrie. We appreciate all of you guys for being with us, enjoying the show, and staying with us. Very loyal group of people, of course, and you've been around for a long time, and so are we. Hey, join me on Blue Rock Talk. You get half off because you're a Coast fan, so go to bluerocktalk.tv and look up at the top, and you're going to see the coupon. So until we meet again, I'm asking you to keep watching the night skies and continue with me to seek out the strange and uncover the unknown. For Coast to Coast AM, I'm Connie Willis.